my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Amen. This morning, this Easter Resurrection Sunday, I have a hard time calling it Easter. To me, it's Resurrection Sunday, but it's okay to use the term Easter. But I thought about two words that we are all dealing with, and that's where I want to park and preach from. So the title is Stay In. For those praise team members that are with me, would you just say Stay In?
Stay In.
Stay In. So the title of today is Stay In. And this is what we've been hearing, and what we've unfortunately been having to do is stay in. When the weather is good, we can't rip and run where we want to go. We have to stay in. It is the safest, healthiest practice for us, but that doesn't mean it's easy. I've forgotten how many days we've been in now. All I know is I keep hearing them say, stay in. That's what we've been doing, and we've been trying to do it, and your kids are not in school. Your kids are going stir crazy. Maybe they're getting on your nerves, but the government keeps telling you, stay in. In. If we're going to beat this thing, if we ever going to get out in the summer, we got to stay in. And so this is the first time in my preaching life. I've been preaching almost 22 years. It's the first time I've ever preached an Easter Sunday with a whole bunch of people that was staying in. Now, I didn't preach some services where some folks stayed in, but usually on Easter, it bring everybody out. Everybody and their mama come out. But on this Resurrection Sunday, we got to stay in. So I just want to preach from that this morning. Stay in. If you're out there in internet, Facebook land, just somebody say, stay in. But if you know me, you know I like to use acronyms and I like to break things down. And so as I was thinking about staying in and the call for us to stay in, and let me pause and say, I really think it's the best thing for you to do. I know you're saved and I know you speak in tongues and I know you have more power and authority than the doctor, but it's still good for you to stay in because you may not be sick. But what you can do is you can pass something on to somebody who doesn't have the same faith as you, and you can cause buku trouble. So it's good for everybody to just stay in. So that's the title, Stay In. I think I've set it up enough for you, but let's break down the acronym. Let's put it up on the screen. The S in Stay In stands for suffering sacrifice, because our Christ was a suffering sacrifice. He wasn't a quick sacrifice. He was a suffering sacrifice. And the T stands for truthful yet taken. He was telling the truth. He was walking in the truth. He was living the truth, yet he was taken, yet he was arrested. Sometimes you get arrested for doing the right thing. So he's a suffering sacrifice, and he was truthful, yet he was still taken. And then A, he was authoritative even in agony. He went through some agony. He went through some stuff, but he didn't lose his authority because he was born to die. And why? He yielded up his spirit. The King James says he yielded up the ghost. He did everything he needed to do, but on that cross, he yielded up his spirit. And then I-N, he was put inside the tomb. So S is for suffering sacrifice. T is for truthful yet taken. A is for authoritative in agony. Y is yielded up his spirit or yielded up the ghost. And I-N is inside the tomb. Somebody say, preach it, Pastor.
Preach it, Pastor.
We're going to go to John 18:19 Matthew 27 and 28. So I have a lot of verses that I want to read, but as I was praying on what I should share this morning, I heard God say, just tell the story. There's power just telling the story. And I know you've heard the story if you've been in church any length of time, but there's anointing just in the story. So we're going to take our time and read through some scriptures, and I'm going to show you how they connect to the stay in, but we're going to read the story and tell the story, because at the end of the day, this is my story. It's his story, but this is my story. This is my song praising my Savior all the day long. His story is your story. His glory is your glory. His death is your death, and his resurrection is your resurrection. So if you let me take a little time and tell the story. Somebody say, tell the story, Pastor. Tell the story. Let's start with suffering sacrifice. And we're going to go to John 19 and 1. John 19 and 1 says, then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. Once he got in the possession of Pilate, it was Pilate's job to hand out the punishment. And Pilate took him and flogged him. That's a nice sanitized way of saying your Lord and Savior got beat. They beat him. They put him in punishment. Verse 2 says, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They weren't treating him like royalty. They were actually making fun of him, but he was a suffering sacrifice. The scripture says, like a lamb going to its shearer, like a lamb going to the slaughter. That's the way our Christ had gone to the halls of justice. And even though it wasn't real justice, it was injustice, it was suffering for our Savior. Verse 3 says, they came up to him saying, hail, King of the Jews, and struck him with their hands. And so they were beat. They beat him, and he was beat, but then they went beyond that. Sometimes the soldiers got a little sadistic and would beat beyond what they should have been doing, because sometimes when people get a little bit of power, they always go overboard. And so Pilate gave them power to flog him, but they went overboard. They put purple on him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They said, hail, King of Jews, and they struck him with their hands. They hit him with their hands. Now, here's the funny thing. Because he was God in human flesh, all he had to do is tell his father to stop them from breathing, and they would have died on the spot. They didn't even have power to hit him, but he allowed them to hit him because he was a suffering sacrifice. Verse 4, Pilate went out again and said to them, see, I am bringing him out to you that ye may know that I find no guilt in him. I'm letting you beat him. I'm punishing him. But let me be honest, Jews, I don't find any guilt in him. I don't find any fault in him. I heard Fred Hammond on a live concert last night sing the song, I find no fault in him. Even in this virus, I got to tell you, I find no fault in God. Even in trying times, I find no fault in God. There's no fault in him. He hasn't lost the battle. He hasn't lost the case. He hasn't slept on the job. I find no fault in him. I may not have it like I like it, but I find no fault in him. You might talk about him. You might laugh at him, but I got to be honest, I find no fault in him. Pilate said the same thing. There's no guilt. I don't see that he's done anything worth what y'all talking about. Y'all talking about kill him, but I'm just going to have him beat and send him on his merry way. Verse 5, so Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, behold the man. Look at him. He don't deserve this. I don't know much about your laws and your rules, but I know one thing. He don't deserve this. Look at him. Is this really what y'all want to do? So he was a suffering sacrifice. That leads me to T. He was truthful yet taken. I'm going to back up from 19 and go and jump to 18. I want to show you where Pilate got this idea from, and then we'll come back to 19. John 18:36 says this. It says, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. One of the reasons why Pilate began to understand that this man ain't done nothing wrong, because Jesus told Pilate in private quarters, you ain't got to worry about me, because my kingdom is not of this world. My focus is not of this world. And I got to pause and take a Apostle Mitchell rabbit trail for just a second. And this is the reason why some of us can praise in the middle of the coronavirus, because our kingdom is not of this world. You can drop the stock market. You can drop the Dow Jones. You can put me in the unemployment line. But my kingdom is not of this world. I'm not living for this life. I'm living to live again. I'm living to cross over in glory. I'm living because heaven has my name on it. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I know I got to have some of the things, material things in this life, but that's not what I'm living for. And when Jesus told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world, it changed how Pilate was thinking. And then Jesus went on to say, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not of this world. He said, if my kingdom was of this world, you would have had a fight on your hands. My people would not have allowed you to take me, but I'm not even worried because my kingdom's not of this world. Let's look at verse 37. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king. You didn't say you weren't a king. You just said your kingdom is not of this world. Let me go back to my rabbit trail. I'm not saying I'm not wealthy, but my major wealth is not in this world. I'm not saying I don't have joy, but my major joy just ain't in this world. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Yeah. You may be a king, but you're a different type of king. So Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Jesus began to deviate away from the conversation about him being a king, because he said, that's not my purpose for coming into the world. I am a king, and my kingdom is not of this world. But since my kingdom is not of this world, I could have stayed where I was. But I came to this world because I had a purpose. And my purpose was, I was born for something. And my purpose was, what I was born for was to testify to some truth. And anybody who relates to my voice, they relate to this truth. And then we go to verse 38. Pilate said to him, what is truth? He got philosophical with Jesus. Well, what is truth? You're talking about your real purpose was based on the truth. What is truth? After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him. This was the first time he said it. The previous time when we read it was the second time he said it. Once I listened to this man, it's something about him that speaks truth to me. I may not know everything about God and everything about Jesus, but there's some truth in him that makes me want to serve a God that I can't see. I can't see God. I can't see Jesus, but I feel some truth. I feel something real about this. This ain't fake. This ain't phony. This ain't a play thing. This ain't play church. This ain't pretend. This ain't my imaginary friend. This is truth. This is a real truth. And on the rock of this truth, he has built his church. And because of that, even the worldly folk have to say, I find no guilt in him. Let's move on to verse 39 in John 18. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. This happened at Passover time. And Passover is a symbolization of Jesus and the cross. The Passover lamb is the same thing as Jesus, the lamb on the cross. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Pilate was trying to work in their mind to think, wait a second, since he ain't really done anything, and your law says I can let somebody go free, I can pardon somebody, don't you want me to let this king go? Because his kingdom is not of this world. Maybe you need this king. And I'm here to tell somebody watching me over on Facebook right now, you need this king. You need to get saved. You need to know this king. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. Everybody ought to know. Don't you want this king? Amen. He gave them another chance. Don't you want this, King? Verse 40, 18 and 40. They cried out again, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. There was somebody that was sinless standing before them. And they said, no, don't give me the sinless one. Give me that other one. It's something about the twisted mind of man. It's something about humanity that will cross over divinity to grab another human. And let me talk to some of y'all single folk right now. This is the time to get a hold of God, because you've been jumping over God trying to get a man. You've been jumping over God trying to get a woman. You've been trying to grab Barabbas when the king was right there. And now that you're quarantined and you can't run where you need to go, you need to embrace this King, because he's the only one that has the truth.
Yes.
Let's look at verse John 19 and 6. Going back to 19, jumping from 18 back to 19. 19:6. When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, crucify him. Crucify him. Pilate said to them, take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. He was truthful, but yet he was still taken to be crucified. And the reason why he was taken to be crucified was because of the church folk. We can talk about the world all we want, but one thing this virus is doing is waking up the church. Because many times we praise him with our hands, but we say crucify him with our actions. And it's time for us taking this truthful king and taking him and crucifying him with our actions. No, we need to receive him and know he's bringing us the truth. It's time to wake up. The Bible says, wake to righteousness and sin not. Verse 7 says this, the Jews answered him, we have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die. In other words, we got rules. Our denomination does it this way. My bishop does it this way. My church does it this way. I got my clergy collar on, and my pastor in his white clergy collar does it this way. So I'm not concerned about what God wants done. I want to do it my traditional way. Our law says he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God. But he was telling the truth. He was truthful, but he was taken because they didn't recognize the truth. How many of us are staring the truth in the face, but we don't recognize it? And so we're crucifying our Savior because we don't know the truth. Let me say, like, if this was Apostle, he would say, like it was said in the movie Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth. And the problem with a lot of us church folk, we can't handle the truth. We'd rather believe a lie than hold on to the truth. And the Jews had a chance to grab the truth, but they took him and they said, crucify him. That leads me to A. So we have the S, the suffering sacrifice. We have T, truthful but taken. Now we have A, authoritative in agony. Now Jesus, being rejected the way he was in agony, both emotional and physical and spiritual. Let's look at John 19:9. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate was so confused because it looked like he should have been let go, but they were so hell-bent on crucifying him that Pilate had to ask the question, where are you from? You said your kingdom is not of this world. I need to know, where are you from? But Jesus didn't answer him. Verse 10, so Pilate said to him, you will not speak to me? Do you know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? Like Sister Mitchell would say, he started smelling himself. He was looking at his own power, and he's looking at Jesus. Look, what you mean you're not going to respond to me? Don't you know your life hangs in my hands? The balance of your life hangs in my hands. And here's the quiet Jesus saying nothing. But look, let's look at verse 11. He spoke up then. Jesus answered him, you would not have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Hold on, Pilate.
Hold on, brother. I know you don't understand where I'm from, and I know you don't understand everything that's going on, but you use the word authority, and I got to let you know, no, you don't have the authority to do anything over my life. I laid my life down, and it is God that gives you the authority. You can't do anything without the permission of God, and that's why I'm not scared of this virus, because God still, even though he didn't author it, he still had to permit it, and whatever God permits, he can take me through. I once was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. My God still has the authority. He sits high, he looks low. He tells the ocean how far to go. He tells the stars what to do. The sun and the moon obey him. The trees and the birds obey him. The lion and the snakes have to obey him. He has the authority. Jesus was in agony, but he was still authoritative. Wait a second. I got to let you know who holds this. And also what he was doing, he was letting Pilate off the hook. No matter what you choose to do, it ain't got nothing to do with you. I was born for this. I came for this. When I showed up in the manger, I was headed to the cross. I stepped out of heaven to end up in the cross. So it ain't got nothing to do with you and the Jews. It has everything to do with my purpose for humanity. And then he says this to really let him off the hook. He says, therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin. Let's look at 19:12. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. He's trying to figure out ways to let him go. But the Jews cried out, if you release this man, you're not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. Pilate was trying to play politics, and he wanted to make sure he stayed in the good graces of Caesar. So even though he knew Jesus hadn't done anything wrong, he didn't want to give up his power. And there's a lot of folk in this world that don't want to give up their power. And that's why they've done some evil, wicked things, because they want their power. But this virus has leveled the playing field. The powerful got to stay in. The wealthy got to stay in. People that are running businesses got to stay in. It's putting us all on the same playing field. So you don't think just because you have some power that you can play the game. You got to do what God wants you to do, because he has the authority. John 19:14, now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. The sixth hour is noon. He said to the Jews, behold your king. Said it to him again. 19:15, one more time. They said, they cried out, away with him. Away with him. Get him away from us. Crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Oh, that's such a horrible thing. And sometimes we say the same thing. My king is the Democrats. My king is the Republicans. My king is General Motors. And my king is the Cadillac in my garage. And my king is Prime Trust and J.P. Morgan Chase. No, 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 no. Don't ever put anything above your Savior. Because J.P. Morgan Chase didn't die for you. And the Cadillac didn't die for you. And General Motors didn't die for you. And the stock market didn't die for you. It's okay to have those things, but you have one king, and it's J-E-S-U-S. It's Yeshua. It's Yahweh. It's Yeshua HaMashiach. It's Jehovah. It's Jehovah Nissi and Jehovah Makedis. You have one king, and he's a king of kings. But they said, we have no king but Caesar. They didn't even like Caesar. But if it became between Caesar and Jesus, they chose Caesar. Moving on to verse 16. So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, once again taken. Now we're going to Matthew 27. Matthew 27 and 27 says this. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. 28 says, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, showing some of the other things that we've seen in John, but from another perspective, from Matthew's account. And twisting together a crown of thorns, verse 29, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. This is the agony that he was in. Then verse 30 says, and they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. John's account didn't talk about that, but Matthew says they spit on him. It's one thing to hit somebody. It's another thing to have the audacity to spit on him. They spit on Jesus and then took a reed and hit him on his head. When they say hit him on his head, they're not just saying they hit him on his head, but they were beating the crown of thorns down into his head. And the thorns had poisonous tips, which would send like an itching vibration all over his body. And they were pounding it down in his head. And he was the creator of the universe. He stood with God. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here he is being treated like an absolute dog for you and I. Verse 31, and when they had mocked him, they stripped him off the robe, ripped his clothes off, exposed his flesh, and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. Verse 39, dropping down, and those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads. We have a saying that we put on social media, SMH, shaking my head. They looked at our Savior, who had done nothing wrong, and shook their head at him. Nobody said, wait a second, he healed my daughter. He opened my eyes. He brought me back to life. All those people were gone, and folk walked by him and shook their heads. Let's look at verse 40. And saying, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Treated him real bad. And while he was there hanging for them, they said, why don't you get off the cross? You so big, you so bad. I'm just trying to tell the story. Verse 41, so also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, 42, he saved others. He cannot save himself. See, they didn't understand. He didn't come to save himself. He came to save you and I. So he put himself in harm's way. Like we heard in the kids when they were doing the speeches, the underlying song was a song worth. You thought I was worth saving. So you came and you touched my life. You thought I was to die for. He wasn't trying to save himself. 42 also says he is the king of Israel. Go back to 42, please, for me. That he's the king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. So we see it, the suffering sacrifice. We see truthful yet still taken. We see authoritative but still in agony. And all the way down to why. Why is now yielded up the ghost. Yielded up the spirit. He allowed himself to actually take his last breath. Let's move on to Matthew 27:45. And this is spelling stay once again. The death of Jesus. Now from the sixth hour, once again noon, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. The ninth hour would have been 3 p.m. From 12 to 3, darkness hit on the land. And if you know anything about light, and the day, it doesn't get pitch black, not from noon to 3 in the afternoon. But because the world hung in his hands when he died, everything shifted in the world. Darkness fell on the land. And when darkness fell on the land, the devil got happy. Because his plan was unfolding. He thought it was his plan, but he was playing right into the hands of our Father God. Verse 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did God forsake him on the cross? I'm talking about everybody else forsaking him, but his own Father forsook him. And the reason why is because he took all the sin of every human being, past, present, and future, and brought it all to his body. So right there on the cross, he was the molester. He was the child abuser. He was the domestic violence perpetrator. Everything sick and twisted, he became that. And God couldn't look on that. God had to turn his back on that because he became sin for us. He stayed. He stayed on the cross to pull in the sin, to pull in the judgment, to pull in the wrath, to pull in the pain. That this is why we come to church, and this is why we celebrate, not just on one day, but our God took sin for us and put it on his son so that we could have his son's righteousness. Let's go to verse 50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit, allowed his spirit to leave his body. And death was now in, he was now in the grips of death. Not because death could do anything to him, but because he gave his life into death for you and I. Verse 51, and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. It's not talking about torn from a person. This curtain was like the door of the temple. It was thick and it was ripped just like that when he moved and he transitioned from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. If you read more, Matthew says people even came up out of the ground. Something really happened when he transitioned and allowed himself to be put into death, in the grips of death. The suffering Savior was wrapped in flesh and wrapped in swaddling clothes, but now he's wrapped in death, and the whole world shook because of it. Verse 54, when the centurion, one of the folks that was around beating him and watching the whole thing going on, and those who were with him keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. We made a mistake. And the devil was laughing because, yeah, they made a mistake. But when the world began to do things it hadn't done before, they knew something is real about this Savior. And I'm letting you know something. We're in a time where the world is doing stuff we haven't seen in our lifetime. We've never seen a virus take over the whole globe like it did and shut things down, because the world is responding to the return of the Savior. The first time it responded to his birth. The second time it responded to this death. The next time it's responding to his return. And it's, if I was you, I'd get ready. I wouldn't be playing. I wouldn't be joking. He didn't die for you to stay in your sins. He died for you to be transformed. And the centurion said, truly, this was the Son of God. I hope somebody during this season of virus is saying, this is the Son of God. I need to get right. I need to get myself together. When I say get myself together, there's nothing you can do but just give over to God and say, God, I can't help me, but you can help me. I can't fix me, but you can fix me. I can't save me, but you can save me, because that's why you came. Now let's go to in. Stay in. Inside the tomb. Let me recap. S was the suffering sacrifice. T was he was truthful and he was still taken. A, he was authoritative, but yet he was still in agony. Y, he yielded up the ghost. He allowed death to grab him. Death couldn't grab him, but he allowed death to grab him. And then I am inside the tomb. Stay in. Let's look at 27:57. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. 58 and 59, he went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen shroud. Verse 60, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. It's over. I say he's gone. He's dead. I'm glad I had purchased a tomb. I didn't purchase it for Jesus. I thought Jesus would outlive me. I thought I'd die before him. But can I have the body? Because I got this tomb and I'm going to put it there. And he's so precious. I'm going to make sure that my people roll a big stone. I don't want nobody messing with his body, but I didn't really expect it to end like this. I didn't expect it to end with him in the tomb. I didn't expect it to end with him on the cross after all he did. I wasn't looking for it to happen like this. I wasn't looking for 2020 to end up with me being quarantined and can't do what I want to do. This wasn't what I was looking for. But baby, God always got a plan. God always got a sequel. God always doing something. And I don't know what Joseph of Arimathea was thinking, but the story wasn't over. I know you know the story wasn't over. When he got in the tomb, the story wasn't over. Let's say it again. Let's say it three times. Would you put it up? Stay in.
Stay in.
Stay in.
Stay in.
Let me read this. He stayed in sin and suffering. He stayed in agony and pain. He stayed in mocking and ridicule. He stayed in lies and accusation. He stayed in penalty and he stayed in punishment. Somebody say, stay in. He stayed in righteousness. He stayed in forgiveness. He stayed in destiny. He stayed in God's will. When he was in the garden, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he stayed in sacrifice. I know we're mad because we're staying in, but ain't nobody staying in the way Jesus stayed in. He didn't have to go through none of this, but he stayed there and let them beat him. He stayed there and let them nail his hands. He stayed there and let them nail his feet. He stayed there and let them pierce him in his side. He stayed there when the crown of thorns was on his head. He stayed there when they was whipping his back. He stayed in. I can stay in because he already stayed in. But can you put this up for me? Yet, there's one thing he didn't stay in. He stayed in a bunch of stuff. But there's one thing in the story that we know he didn't stay in. Would you put the video up for me? Would you roll it? It says empty, and you see the stone rolling away. He stayed in everything, but he didn't stay in the tomb. I may be staying inside, but he didn't stay in the tomb. He didn't stay in death. He didn't stay in the grave. And he didn't stay in the ground. He got up with power in his hand. He got up and hell couldn't hold him back. He got up and death couldn't overcome him. He got up and sickness couldn't take him out. He got up and the devil couldn't do nothing about it. He got up and the Jews couldn't keep him dead. He got up. Oh yeah, well, I'm staying in, but he didn't stay in. He got up. Because death could, it could hold him, but it couldn't keep him. The grave could touch him, but it couldn't keep him because he was bigger than death and he was bigger than the grave. Oh, grave, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, but I'm bigger than that. I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. I'm the Savior of the world. Not only am I the Lamb, but I'm the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I'm not staying in this tomb. The tomb is empty. Now, right now, basically, other than the praise team, I'm preaching to an empty church. But it's okay because there was an empty tomb. And the reason why I'm excited, because the tomb is empty. He didn't stay in it. He got up because it couldn't hold him back, couldn't hold him down. Let's read a little more of the story and move our way on out. Matthew 28:1. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. They was hurting. Verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake. See, every time there was a transition with Jesus in his body, the earth began to quake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. I wonder what Mary was thinking coming to the tomb and seeing somebody sitting on the stone. And the stone rolled away. Matthew 28:3. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. 28:4. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. The guards saw the angels. Verse 5 says, but the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Verse 6, he is not here. For he has arisen as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Only thing you can look at is where he used to be because he didn't stay there. He is risen. Somebody say that he is risen. Verse 7, then go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. You're going to see him. Verse 8, so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. Verse 10, then Jesus said to them, verse 9, and behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. They didn't see Jesus at first. They just saw the angel. And they were running to go tell. And Jesus showed up right there. And next thing you know, they worshiped him. I'm here to let somebody know in quarantine, Jesus is going to show up in your house. And when you're not even looking, when you're not even expecting, when you're just washing your dishes, when you're just walking the dog, when you're just dusting and mopping, you're going to see Jesus show up in your house to prove to you that you may be stayed in, but he didn't stay in. He's risen, and he's here to minister to your needs. And if I was you, I would worship him.
Hallelujah.
Verse 10. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Saints, this is our story, that we are supposed to go tell the brothers and go tell the sisters there is a Savior, and he's no longer dead. He's no longer suffering, and he's no longer taken. He's no longer in agony, and he's no longer yielding, and he's no longer in the tomb, but he's up and he's out and he lives in me. And I got to tell somebody about what God has done in my life. I got a testimony. When I look back over my life, I see God's been good to me. When I look back over my life, I say God has forgiven me. When I look back over my life, I say God has blessed me. And if you want to know God, I want you to know the God that I serve. I don't serve Mickey Mouse and I don't serve Donald Duck, but I serve God. I serve a friend to the friendless. I serve the joy of the whole earth. I serve the lily of the valley. I serve the bright and morning star. I serve the rose of Sharon. I serve the risen Savior. I serve the risen King. I serve the warrior that stands on the white horse. I serve the knight in shining armor. I serve somebody that's better than Campbell's soup. He's good. I serve God, and he's all that to me. He's all that in a bag of chips. He's all that in Doritos too. He's the high and the low. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Go tell somebody. Commission used to sing a song. Go tell somebody about this Jesus. That's our job, is to go tell the brothers he's coming again. Don't fool yourself. This virus is not an accident. It's to remind the church he's coming again. Get ready and tell folk, come on in to God. Now we're going to go back to the title. The title is what? Stay in. And so since we know that he didn't stay in the grave, but now he's in us, he's staying in us. Jesus is staying in us. And since he's staying in us, this is what we got to do. We got to stay in faith. If in the middle of this virus, in the middle of this pandemic, in the middle of this uproar, we got to stay in faith, because he stayed in us. He didn't stay in the grave. He didn't stay in death. He didn't stay in the tomb, but he's staying in us. So stay in faith. Stay in joy. Stay in peace. Stay in victory. Stay in praise. Stay in hope. Stay in prayer. And stay in communion with God. God didn't bring his son up out of the ground. First of all, God didn't send him to put sin on him and then take that sin to the ground and take his son to hell to preach a revival in hell and then bring him up out of the ground with power in his hand for us not to have communion with God. It is because of Christ we have communion with God. So stay in communion with God. Do not run away from God right now. Don't run to the news. Don't run to NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, and MSNBC and CNN. Run to God. Because the scripture says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It stays in you. It lives in you. But you'll never know how to use it. You'll never know how to access it unless you stay in communion with God.
And having said that, we're going to transition into communion right now. Praise team, if you would like to, the communion is over there. You can grab some. And I'm going to begin to usher us into our communion. Stay in communion with God. And we've been doing this communion more and more lately because communion actually brings healing to our bodies. And we're staying in faith and we're staying in healing. And I declare no COVID-19 in Deliverance Temple in the name of Jesus. It may come, but it cannot stay. It can't stay in us because we are staying in connection with God. 1 Corinthians 11:23, would you put it up? For I have received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Same night when he was stabbed in the back and getting ready to head into pain and agony, he still took the bread. 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This, do in remembrance of me. There where you are, wherever you have a cracker, bread, take it right now. With his stripes upon his body, we were healed. Verse 25. After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Let's drink the cup. This bread and this wine is now staying in us, reminding us that he lives in us. Verse 26. And this is how we'll close. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. We don't wait till Easter to talk about his death. But every time we drink, we stay in faith. We stay in all those things that we had. Would you put those back up? All those stay in. And then we'll close with that. We stay in faith when we have this communion. We stay in joy. We stay in peace. We stay in victory. We stay in praise. We stay in hope. We stay in prayer. And we stay in this communion with God. Let's bow our heads for a time of prayer. To my prayer warriors, you don't have to log off. Just pray with me at this time. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We are staying in, but God, you didn't stay in the tomb. And you didn't stay in the grave, you didn't stay in hell, you didn't stay in death, but you chose to stay in us. And since you're staying in us, God, what we're doing, we're getting connected and close to you. And when we come out and when they open the doors and we can come out and we can go back to somewhat of a normal life, we are going to tell people about a risen Savior, a risen King. We're not going to let people talk about our Savior without us saying something. I got something to say. I serve a risen Savior. You can talk about Buddha, Muhammad, Krishna, and everybody, but you got to let me talk about my Jesus, my J-E-S-U-S, my Mary's baby, because he's living and he's staying in me, in Jesus' name. And let the people say amen and amen. Deliverance Temple, God bless you. We will see you next week. We love you.